Good morning, everyone. My name's Tim Brill, Director of IR at Microfocus. Welcome to everybody. Thank you for coming to our interim results for the first 6 months of our financial year 2016 to the end of October. Delighted to see so many of you here. Hopefully most of you have seen the statement this morning that's on your chairs, as well as the presentation that we're about to run through. We'll pursue the same approach as in prior years and periods, where we will take you through an overview. Kevin will step up in a moment and walk through the integration update and the outlook, as well as an overview of the business before Mike steps into the financials. And then we'll come back for some Q&As. Keen to keep this to time. We have also got a session after the Q&As where Niels Brauchmann, our SUSE leader, will take you through some of the slides that we shared at SUSEcon, our leading customer and partner event in Amsterdam last month. I know some of you were able to come to that, but thanks to the horrors of the fog and the flight travel, a few weren't able to do it. So by all means, once we've broken after the first session, if you want to come back in for a 20-minute session on SUSE, then you're very welcome to do so. So with that, let me hand over to Kevin.
Thank you, Tim. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to talk briefly about the overview and integration summary and outlook, and then Mike will talk about the finances. at a high level, the transformation and the integration is going well. If someone a year ago had said we could be where we are today, we'd have bitten their arm off. Doesn't mean it's done. Lots of hard work still to go, and I'll show you a couple of slides on that later. The results were at the high end of our expectations as management in the first half. Our shareholder return strategy remains, and we're even more confident that we can do what we set out to do. And we've increased the dividend 10% in line with our dividend policy. A number of you were polled beforehand about some of the things you wanted us to talk about, and you said, amongst others, you wanted to know what we were doing about the combined role. Could we manage SUSE as a growth business in Microfocus, given that we don't worry too much about growth? When will be the next return of value, and when could we do another acquisition? So I thought I'd answer those questions. What we've done in terms of board structure today is we've announced that I'll continue as executive chairman to deliver on the commitments we made to shareholders on the TAG integration, where effectively we said, trust us to do this deal and we'll give you 100% return in 3 years. So I'm going to stay around and make sure that happens. And you can work out the share price by working back from that. Stephen and Niels are both going to join the board as CEOs of Microfocus and SUSE respectively. And that's a reflection of the good work they've been doing leading those businesses already. So it's promoting them onto the board. And part of doing that is also enabling us to then bring in people below them and further strengthen the management team and expansion as we look to grow the business going forward. Steve Schuckenbrook is joining the board as NED. All these happen on the 1st of February. Steve, most notably, was joint COO of EDS at one point. Then he ran all of the enterprise business in Dell and the Perro part of Dell in a previous role. So he's joining the board in February. The two wizard directors have agreed to step off the board. They didn't have to, but they've agreed to. So that enables us with board composition to get the right balance between independents and executives. This is the way we've organised the company. So this is the organisation that's been in place since April. And you can see a number of shared services supporting both portfolios, and then one portfolio, which is SUSE, and then the other portfolio, which is Microfocus. Deliberately done because SUSE is a growth business and it's an open source business, and there's lots of links to the open community. And you do simple things in a growth business, like you pay people on bookings. In a mature business, you pay people on revenue. So you'll find the salespeople are paid differently one side to the other side. And there are other differences in the way that we run it. But that's the organization we've put in place. When will the next return of value be? Well, if you look at the numbers, you can see clearly we could do a return of value in 2016. So just work through the cash numbers, you can see that. And our default and what we say to the investors consistently is when we get below 2.5 times EV EBITDA, we will return the cash unless there's something we can buy which will give you an even better return. So there will either be a return of value later in 2016, or there'll be an acquisition if there's one around that happens to work and fit the strategy and be at the right price. But they're all big ifs. We've also been spending time increasing management capacity. If you look at the top 100 leaders in the business now, 42 were from old Micro Focus, 46 were from old Tag, and 12 are new hires. And we're continuing to hire people and develop people because as we go forward, we need to expand that capability to continue executing the model. For the first time today in the results, you can actually see the scale of the business. We're now over $600 million of revenue in the half, over $250 million of EBITDA in the half. We will increase our EBITDA in the year by more than the EBITDA of many of the tech companies in the UK. So it's now a business with genuine scale, which in itself brings other opportunities as well as other challenges. So SUSE is a growth business. Can we manage it in Micro Focus? You've seen in the results we're investing in SUSE. One of our biggest challenges in SUSE at the moment is how we hire as fast as we would like. So we're investing. We've got opportunities in the current Linux infrastructure business where you can see the growth numbers delivered in the first half. But there's also the next wave of opportunities coming in OpenStack, software-defined storage. Then there's software-defined networks. So plenty of opportunities to invest in that business, and we are investing in the business. And I have no concern that as a company, we know how to run a growth business as well as how to run a mature business. More interesting question to me is, can the market value the two of them within the same entity? And so all I did here, and this is stealing a bit of sort of the method from one of David Toms's notes, I said, if Micro Focus before we did Tag was on 10.5 times EV EBITDA, and broadly speaking, there's 440 million of EBITDA in that part of the business, that would give you 4.6 billion. At £13, which was our share price last week, our EV is about 5.7 billion, which would imply that SUSE, which is only growing at 15% and an EBITDA of about 85 million, would only be worth 12 times. Just doesn't compute. But well, maybe. So anyway, that's your job, not my job. So I'm not worried that we know how to run the business. What we do have is a genuine concern we talk to investors about is, will the market value the business? Because in the end, it's not our job to own businesses. It's our job to deliver value from businesses. So in terms of integration, this is the four-phase plan that we presented at the time of the acquisition. And everything on this chart is the same, apart from the two red lines saying standardized systems in 17 and 18. So everything we're doing is going well. As I said, we're ahead of where we hope to be in terms of integration. The one thing that's going to be different, we started with the premise that we would roll all the Tag businesses into the Micro Focus systems as we'd done with previous acquisitions. And as we've started looking at it and doing the detailed work, we've concluded that those systems then wouldn't be scalable enough for what other things we've got in mind going forward. So we're actually going to invest in new systems on the finance side, and we're currently scoping those and working out how we're going to do it and go to tender on it. So the system standardization is probably going to take us another couple of years, whereas our initial simple plan was we'd just smash everything into to one system. Other than that, everything else is where we're going. We said that we would decline revenues this year. We will decline revenues this year. We'll exit next year flat, and the following year we'll have modest growth. These are the integration programs we've currently got running within the business. I suspect you can't see them on that chart. Suffice to say, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of detailed work. There's a lot of resource being applied to it. And this is all running on a day-to-day basis with both internal resource supplemented by external support and consultants. Key achievements to date. Back in April, we threw the whole go-to-market model up in the air, the whole structure up in the air. We've reorganized all the sales teams. We've changed all the compensation models. We've consolidated all the product management and development into one organization. So we develop products once globally. We distribute geographically through a geographic go-to-market organization. We've closed more than 20 locations. We've started the harmonization of employee benefits across all the different companies, and not because Attachmate was effectively four different companies plus Micro Focus. So we started to harmonize all of that stuff. We've started simplifying the branding messages. You'll start to see old websites closing down, old brand names disappearing as we consolidate to just Micro Focus and SUSE. And we've done all the process definition now on the quote to cash systems that we're going to implement. The next significant items, the next stage is we'll select the target architecture for quote to cash. We'll continue simplifying our IT architecture and systems. We'll end up with a very much reduced number of external websites and internal websites. And we're simplifying our legal entity structures just to actually streamline everything. And that's all in the guise of our premise that we want to be the most efficient operator of mature infrastructure software businesses. So in terms of outlook, this was the statement we put up at the preliminary results. This is an updated version of that same chart. So consistent double-digit shareholder returns. We will reduce revenue to right-size the business. We failed a bit on that. We did a bit too much revenue in the first half. We're expecting, at the time, we're expecting first half to be slow because of all the changes we introduced. I think actually the people rose to the challenge, and adrenaline and a change in the sales plan caused people to sell stuff a bit quicker than we thought they would. Some people who'd never had a half-year target, having been given a half-year target, actually went out and sold stuff earlier in the year rather than later in the year. We aim to return to revenue growth in full year 18, and in the medium term, aim for low single digits organic revenue growth. We're not changing the year-end outlook of between -2% to -4%. Our philosophy remains that when you buy businesses, they carry on trend for a period of time before the changes you put into place. We expect the revenue to go down in the year, so we're not changing our outlook. If in due course it turns out that it's a bit stronger than that, we'll tell you, but at the moment we're not changing anything. So at that point, I'll hand over to Mike, who'll go through the numbers.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Good morning, everybody. One of the other bits of feedback we got ahead of time from the analysts was that, on the one hand, people wanted the same level of detail that we've provided historically, and on the other hand, they wanted less detail and focus on the key issues. What we've done with the pack here is provide you with everything we gave you at the prelim statement, but actually we've put some of it into an appendix, so it's there for reference as much as anything else. The results at a glance, I think the key thing is just the increased scale of the business, as Kevin mentioned. We're now three times the size that we were 12 months ago. We're actually reporting on exactly the same timetable as we did 12 months ago. And as you can imagine, that's a huge effort from the finance team within the organization to do that, getting information out of multiple systems, etc. But we've managed to do it. We've reached the point of issuing the results, and it's a huge difference in terms of scale. The earnings per share increase on an adjusted diluted basis shows the reason why we did the acquisition, so 25% up year on year, and the dividend is up in line with the progressive policy that we now have. The new split of the business, we're now providing profitability by those segments, and you'll see that we have both directly controlled costs and allocated costs. So within the Micro Focus part of the business, there are shared functions with the SUSE business, and we also have corporate functions which are supporting both sides of the business. So you get the directly allocated costs and then an allocation of those central costs. We're providing the margin for the first time on both businesses so that you can see that. We're also including a breakdown from adjusted operating profit, which is where the segmental breakdown takes you to the underlying adjusted EBITDA, which is obviously a key metric within the business. You can see the margins between the two businesses, just under 37% for SUSE, just over 45% for the Micro Focus part, and just under 44% overall. What are the key highlights? We're at the top of the range for management guidance that we gave, so the -2% year-on-year on a constant currency pro forma basis. Rather than comparing against the results for last year, we're trying to give you an idea of how the businesses have performed relative to what they did in the period up to October last year and in the year to April last year. The strong performance in SUSE has offset the anticipated decline in the Micro Focus business. We've got the benefits of the integration. Obviously, we took quite a lot of cost out after the integration review in April, so you can see those cost benefits coming through. As Kevin mentioned, within the business, we now have quarterly targets for all salespeople, whereas TAG originally would have an annual target, bookings-based, and as long as you got it in within the 12 months, it really didn't matter which month it came in. That's changed the profile, particularly around host connectivity, and I'll come on to talk about that. We're at the 2%. The adjusted EBITDA is at 271 million. That's an increase of 11.5%. The underlying adjusted EBITDA, 264 million, and that's an increase of 12.1%. You'll recall that that's the metric on a constant currency basis that we use for the corporate bonus plan, which applies to all staff, including Kevin and myself, who are not on a sales commission plan. If we deliver the same level of underlying adjusted EBITDA this year as last year, there's no bonus. If we get to a 10% increase, that's where Kevin and I max out and the other members of the executive team, staff are uncapped. Those are the simple metrics that we operate by. As I mentioned, 26% on the adjusted diluted EPS growth in the year, which shows the reason why we went to the trouble of doing this deal. Net debt is up during the period, which I think will surprise one or two analysts who had us reducing debt in the first half of the year. If you look back historically for Micro Focus, the first half of the year, we would generally be flattish in terms of debt at the end of April and debt at the end of October because of some cash flows in that first half of the year, and also the profile of maintenance renewals and the impact of deferred income during that period. Not a surprise there, but there are some factors that have impacted the cash and also the cash conversion ratio, which you know is dear to our hearts in terms of generating cash. We always tell you, don't worry about the profit, just follow the cash. What are the impacts that we've had in the period? Cash flow conversion was 62.4%. That's down from the 88% that Micro Focus on its own delivered a year ago. That's been primarily impacted from the following items in TAG. There was a change in the year-end. We moved their year-end from the 31st of March to the 30th of April. That meant that they billed an awful lot, going back to those annual targets, huge amount was billed in the month of March, and quite a lot of it was collected in April. Debtors were particularly low at the April set compared with where they'd normally be. Obviously, despite the fact that it's been operating on a calendar quarter end for a number of years, as soon as you move the year-end, sales activity and sales performance just shunts one month later. They had a very strong finish. Within that's a kind of one-off impact, and we estimate it's about $18 million there. You'll recall that within TAG, they were operating on multi-year maintenance deals and discounting those deals in order to get cash through the door earlier. There's a high proportion of multi-year business across the TAG organization. Within those product sets which are in the Micro Focus portfolio, we now don't do that. We don't discount it, we don't chase the cash and get it through the door. In SUSE, there are continued to be multi-year maintenance subscription deals done. It's a competitive thing. They have to offer it in the market, so we will still get some of those coming through. But the impact of changing that policy, we estimate, is about 15 million in the period as those deals came up and we're not chasing the replacing it with multi-year. At the back end of last year, we obviously made provisions in respect of the restructuring. Those provisions have been settled in cash during the period, and within TAG, that's about 15 million of impact. And then you've got the movement just in the current deferred income balances, which is the seasonality. And the TAG business and the Micro Focus business have a weighting to Q3, that December-January period end in terms of maintenance renewals, budgets for most companies operating on that calendar year basis. So you'll get a peak there, less in the first half of the year. Consequently, you get an unwind of deferred income, which builds up when you go back towards the end of the year. And you can see that profile from Micro Focus over the years. We'll give you some charts in a minute just illustrating that. From the other point of view, the other large outflows, final dividend, the group restructuring, so this includes the element of cash in the TAG business that I've mentioned. You've got on top of that some monies that we've paid out within the Micro Focus side of the house. We've obviously repaid some debt during the period. Corporation tax, you'll see quite a high cash flow on corporation tax in the first half of the year. We're not anticipating that that will repeat for the normal tax in the second half of the year, so it'll be lower there. The one thing we will see in the second half of the year, which you may have picked up on, is that we've had the revenue in the UK are getting us to pay the cash tax in respect of the issue that we've highlighted in all of the results around a scheme with the UK tax authorities, and that money will be going out in February. So you will see that cash flow impact in the second half of the year. But this is just normal corporation tax. And then we acquired a company called Authesys, which is involved in multi-factor authentication in the security business, so in the IAS business. That's a Dutch company, and we acquired that in July. So there's cash flow related to that. And then finally, you've got the interest. So hopefully that gives you the key items there. We'll obviously have the cash flow in respect of the dividend, interim dividend going out in January coming up. So we went back, we thought we'd bring this in again, which is a chart that we have had in historically in Micro Focus, which just shows the cash conversion ratio and also the cash generated from operations. And it's showing movements in provisions, the changes in working capital, so that you can see the kind of movements on a half-year-by-half-year basis. If we look then at the changes in working capital, you can see in the first four half-year periods that you've got in the first half, in the year-end period, that you would get a deferred income increase in the second half of the year and debtors coming down, so you're collecting that, being absorbed. And that profile kind of continues throughout. What we've seen with the two periods now with TAG on board is you've got some big fluctuations, and you can see that the deferred income outflow in that first half of the year is an impact that we would see compared to the second half of the year when you get an inflow from that deferred income balance coming back up. We'll continue to provide this for you going forward just so you can see it, and we would hope it will normalise over time as we unwind those multi-year deals on the maintenance so we get it to a more reasonable level. As you can also see, the DSO, day sales outstanding, we've got down slightly in the period, so it's not an issue within the business that DSO is extending that's having an impact on the working capital. On the pro forma revenue at constant currency, this is where we're showing the impact of currency year on year. We've moved on the pro forma basis to 12 months to April. So it was on actual rates, just 1321 of revenue and 503 of underlying adjusted EBITDA. And based on the exchange rates that we've experienced in terms of converting that revenue to the P&L in the first half of the year. If you apply that to last year, you end up with a reduction in revenue and a reduction in EBITDA. So 1277 and 490 is the base level. So again, going back to the bonus calculation, clearly this will move in the second half of the year depending on what the exchange rates are. So it's not a fixed number. But when you come to compare it, it's growth on that 490 at the moment that will determine the bonus payout for staff and the executives. we're now just showing some half-year charts in terms of the revenues. So you've got the Micro Focus portfolio and the SUSE portfolio. And the product portfolios within Micro Focus, we're also splitting out and showing you the revenue percentages in each of them. There is a move compared to the prelims between development and IT operations and collaboration and networking. So we've got all of those numbers in for each of the half-year periods on the on that basis. We just moved a product from one to the other. So the next charts are just, again, providing you with a breakdown in the revenue, trying to balance the detail that we've provided historically with information that I know that some of you like, and just show it by revenue type and also by the portfolios, the percentages over the last three half-year periods based on those pro forma numbers at constant currency, and the mapping of the old and the new from the Micro Focus and Tag businesses into the new portfolios that we are giving you the breakdown on. So the next three charts just break out those portfolios individually, showing the maintenance license and services that are coming through from it. The host connectivity chart here on the right just illustrates the point about the weighting of license between the first half and the second half. We highlighted this at the prelims in terms of it was much more second half weighted, and we thought that the change in commission structure may have an impact, and it clearly did in the first half of the year, as we mentioned, and the strong performance in that portfolio. Identity, access and security, development, IT, operation, management tools, again on that basis. And then the final chart is just showing the subscription revenues that we get from SUSE in that very light green colour that is key to the SUSE business, and the collaboration networking solutions business on a trend in terms of decline. And as Kevin mentioned, trends continue until you do something different. So hopefully that gives you an idea of what's happening within the business and will help you in your modelling. Here is the split between the underlying adjusted EBITDA and the adjusted EBITDA. The two items which are different between those two measures are the foreign exchange movements, balance sheet items that are going through the P&L account, and the net capitalization or amortization of development costs, which over recent times within Micro Focus has balanced it out pretty much to zero. With taking on the Tag business, we have applied that policy, and therefore you've got the net capitalization in relation to products that they are developing. So first thing we had to do was get a time recording system across the piece within the development organization so we could track it, then put the plans together in terms of what are they producing and what is it going to generate in terms of future revenues. And then in this period, we've got that net capitalization of the development costs in relation to those projects. So just to show you that. Exceptional costs in the period. we have continued to spend money in terms of the integration. So those integration costs we will see continuing in the second half of the year. We've got some movements in terms of some of the provisions we've made, and obviously we had acquisition costs relating to Authosys. So we're just breaking those out, comparing it to the actual numbers within Micro Focus 12 months ago and the actual numbers that we had in the full year, just so you've got those coming through. Balance sheet, I think the key elements are around the borrowings, which we've touched upon, and you'll see that element of the deferred income greater than 1 year figure, the 171 million, is predominantly historic Tag business. So we did have a little bit of greater than 1 year within Micro Focus, but not very much. And we didn't discount those multi-year deals when we did it. It was really a customer preference. Taxation. Effective tax rate, the guidance isn't changing, so we're still within that 21 to 25%. And here we're just showing how we're calculating that from the point of view of getting to an effective tax rate. Number of items in there in terms of those movements. The adjusted ETR is really impacted now by the level of profits that are currently within the US tax net. As Kevin mentioned, the legal entity rationalisation is something that my team is working upon, but also just looking at how that structure is based and how we organise it in a very efficient manner is something that we continue to look at. But no change in the guidance in terms of the tax rate on those adjusted profit before tax. Taxes paid in the period, as I said, large number, just under $48 million compared to 5.2 in the first half of last year. And that was predominantly as a result of the acquisition of TAG and the US tax payments in the period, about $32 million. Those federal payments are expected to cover the liabilities for the second half of the year, so not a huge amount. And apart from this accelerated payment notice that we've had from the revenue, not expecting a huge amount of tax going out in the second half of the year. We received it on the 26th of November. We knew that it was coming, but they eventually got around to issuing it, and we've got until the 29th of February to pay the money, and it's about £17 million, and that will be paid out. We haven't taken any income statement benefit over the period that we've had it in place. We have taken the cash flow benefit, and that's about $28 million so far. We've accrued the interest, $3 million, and we don't anticipate any penalties in respect of this. And there's an ongoing tribunal case that deals with part of the issue. We have two parts to ours. We're going to follow that with interest and see where we get to. To the extent that we're successful, then there will be some of that cash tax coming back at the point that we're successful, but the government has the right to ask for the cash, and therefore I think they need it at the moment, so they put that through. So that's it. As